been all done for you. And the reason why I asked that question is because I think over my Christian walk and over when I've had chats about this, there's always that place in your heart or place in your head or your psyche that says, I don't know if I'm forgiven with that one. Where shame comes in, issues come in, where your behavior wasn't as it should be, and you kind of hold that off and go, I don't know about that one. I don't know about that. And that's not from Jesus. That Jesus is not like, he's going, no. And the reason why I bring this up is because if your relationship with forgiveness is like that, you can't then overflow and pass on forgiveness if you're not allowing yourself to be forgiven. And that's scripture. We're going to go talk through scriptures. I remember one time we were doing the homeless outreach years ago, and I was soliloquying about forgiveness to this guy. Yeah, you're forgiven. Oh my. And quickly that, and the Holy Spirit said, you don't even believe that for yourself. What are you talking about? And what he was teaching me was, don't talk about something that you won't even believe for yourself. Because you're diminishing the cross of Jesus. And it was a lovely lesson. It wasn't a condemnation. It was a conviction to go, mate, there's things in your heart you think you're not even forgiven for. And then this started a conversation of, actually, if you don't believe you're forgiven, you're actually saying that Jesus' sacrifice wasn't big enough and good enough for your forgiveness. For the mankiest things in your head, the past things, those shameful things, and I'm saying, by the way, the things that are in my past that you go, oh, geez, you're looking going, are you serious? I forgive him for that. Because in our humanness, we're like, no way, Jesus, that's too big. And we've got to let that go, because what happens is, because Jesus says, whoever forgives more. Or, remember that scene where Jesus is in the Pharisee's house? And he says, the guy goes, if you only knew what she, you know what I mean? You know, you wouldn't let her touch your feet. And he goes, hold on, she's forgiven much. So how much more will she go out and love the world, kind of thing, right? That was the kind of, I'm paraphrasing, but how much more will she love knowing forgiveness? And I think that's a relationship that we got to check ourselves. Last week, I did something similar in over in Clondalkin, and we had a bit of time with the Lord, and even got a text during the week. This is the power of forgiveness. The text read, paraphrasing, but said, I hadn't forgiven a family member for something, and I hadn't spoken to them in years. But I forgave them, I rang them up, and we're beginning a restoration. That's the power of forgiveness. And I think it starts with, how well are you forgiven? How well are you accepting your own forgiveness? The depth, the breadth. Paul talks about the depth of God's love in Ephesians 3. Let me read out something from Scripture. Before we kick off into Scripture, though, let me pray. Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your message. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for your love of us. Lord, we need a revelation. Look, we in our brains, sometimes we just can't fathom the depth, the breadth, the height of your love, the depth of your forgiveness for us. Lord, we need to step into your river of life. We need that river of life. We need you, Jesus. We need to understand more and more what you've given for us and what you gave up for us. We ask that in your name, Jesus. So this is what it says in Matthew 18. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone? Now, in fairness, I think we've all asked that question. Right? In another way. I haven't asked the question. I've just said, I'm not forgiving him or her or whatever. I'm not doing it. It's off the agenda, Lord. I'm not forgiven. Right? As in, I don't want to forgive the other person. So Peter asked a great question. Typical. Right? I love Peter. He reminds me of himself a lot. No, not seven times. Because Peter says, who sinned against me? How many times? Seven? Seven times? Do I forgive him seven times? Jesus said, no, not seven times, but 77 times. 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him.
In the process, one of the debtors was brought in, who owed him millions of dollars. That's the NLT version, by the way. Millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master had ordered that he sold everything, along with his wife and his children and everything he owned, to pay the debts. Everything. And literally, his kids were going to be put into bondage, his wife was going to be put into bondage, everything was going to be taken from him to pay this debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please, be patient with me, and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. "Be patient with me and I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some other servants saw this, they were really upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?" And the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his debt in full. "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." It's kind of a verse you're kind of like, you didn't have to add that one in. That was a bit of a kick in the teeth verse there, right? We get the message, Jesus, but then he goes, "That's what my dad'll do." Because he takes it serious. Forgiveness is a serious thing. Now, in one of the verses here, we got to really tune in on this, and I'm going to focus on this for the next few minutes. Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured. In other versions, it talks about to be tormented until the debt was paid. And in there, some better scholars than so I've learned this. This wasn't a revelation. That torment is unforgiveness allows a foothold for the enemy, and it allows you to be tormented. This is why Jesus is really serious about forgiveness. He's really serious about you understanding the full forgiveness that you have, so that you know the overflow that you have to give to the world. And part of why I haven't forgiven, the only one of the reasons why I haven't forgiven is because my relationship with forgiveness at times isn't to its capacity. Does that make sense? It's not fully understood at times. So that's why I asked to you, the first question is, how well are you forgiven? How well do you know your forgiveness? How well do you know the depths of your need for forgiveness? Because we sang songs about, you know, him being like washing us white as snow, all of this. But there's stuff sometimes that we cling on to, stains that we kind of go, "No, that's too dirty. That's too manky, Jesus. I can't give that away." Or you think that Jesus isn't big enough, or you haven't taken it to Jesus to say, "Jesus, I want to deal with this. I want this dealt with." Or you're stubborn. And we don't recognize that we've been forgiven much, and in our stubborn hearts, we don't forgive others. Now, in this, there's a message in this that says, and an implied message, because the king said this. He said, I forgave you loads. How did that mercy not change your mind on mercy? How did your mind not, like that question, what are you doing? I showed you so much mercy. How did you not get it? How did you not get that you should forgive? I didn't ask you questions. Are you worthy of it? I took pity. My heart changed to you. My heart broke for you in your position, in your situation.
And yet you can't see others in their brokenheartedness, in their brokenness. And this is the beauty of the gospel, what Jesus asks us to do. He says, because I have forgiven you, and one of our first values is, because I love you so much, your heart and mind should be changed so that you see others differently. You see them as I am seeing them. And that's blooming hard. Try and see somebody the way God sees them who has hurt you. No, I mean hurt. I know some of the stories. Hurt. Like real hurt and pain. You try and ask God that. Show me them the way you see them. I very rarely ask that prayer. So here's, we're left at a crossroads. And the scriptures clearly says you're left with, okay, walk in your own torment. Because you've given a foothold to the enemy. Go for it. And you'll pay your debt another way. In this life and probably the next. Or you can ask Jesus and say, Jesus, the forgiveness of you is supernatural. I need my heart changed and my mind changed. I love that Jesus said at the very end, he didn't say that you have to if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your mind, from your mouth, it was from your heart. Forgiveness is really difficult. It starts with the decision, the choice. It's a really difficult choice at times. And sometimes we are left in that bondage, and it's a serious thing. Unforgiveness is a stronghold. And I just want to go through, let's diagnose your unforgiveness. Our unforgiveness, sorry, it's like, let's diagnose it now. I'm fine, I'm brilliant, but it's not at all. Let's diagnose a bit of unforgiveness. I find myself holding grudges. I retreat into isolation from others. I erupt in anger or boil inside. Oh, but I'm taking, there's ticks beside each one of these for me, I tell you. I think of ways to get even with others who have hurt me. There's a reason why I'm laughing. Like, I laugh, I know I'm forgiven, but thank God there's restoration in my family. I say this laughing nervously. Guys, there was a time in my life when mad stuff was happening in my family life. And I get this scripture where Jesus said, you've murdered somebody in your heart. And Derek Prince says this fantastic thing. He says, if you wouldn't mind that person being wiped off the face of the planet, you've murdered them in your heart. Like if you're the next morning you hear somebody's wiped off the face of the planet and go, yeah, great. Right? You're kind of like, you've murdered them in your heart. It's like you have taken the gun or taken the knife or whatever. Guilty, lads. I'm not guilty. I needed supernatural intervention in my life where I literally spoke those words out over people. I hated a member of my family. Like, and I thought I was justified. I'm telling you now, I could tell you the story and you'll go, justifiable that. I'm with you on that. But I can't understand. Jesus asked me for something better. And he asked me to reflect on how much of you have been forgiven. No right. You've no right. So I had to confess that I murdered somebody in my heart. And trust me, guys, I have to say, it led to restoration. It led to restoration of family member to me, to them. Nephews restored onto me. Forgiveness. Nothing have to be said. No, like Jesus did a wonderful thing. And I'm waiting then for what else will happen. Salvation, like, you know, praying over these situations. I can now pray into a place of salvation for my family, where it's Jesus' story is bigger. And again, it's the King saying to you, you have been forgiven so much. I expect you to now turn and go, I got to see things through your eyes now. I bury the wrongs
done to me without really addressing them. I pity myself, so I have a story. That is, I have a pity party. I carry bitterness and anger against those who have offended me or willfully wronged me. Instead of stating the truth, I make excuses for those who have hurt or wronged me. I often feel sorry for myself. On occasion, I think of myself as some kind of martyr. I feel like no one has had it as bad as me. You know, I have a pretty crappy life. You know what you're talking about. You've a great life. Right? When I get around to someone who has hurt me, I want to completely ignore them. I insulate and protect myself behind a wall of defensiveness. I do not trust others. I just cannot forgive. I'm angry with God for allowing bad things to happen to me. I act like nothing happened instead of confronting issues that have hurt me. Wow. When we were going through this last week, one of the big things that we had to double down on was, which is a strange concept, right? Nearly forgiving God, like for going with Him, going, no, where you say to yourself, you have let me down, or you let this happen, why did you know, this hurt, where were you? In those questions, they're not just flat two-dimensional questions. There's questions that pretty deep and pretty can hurt. And you gotta let God in there, because that can fester into resentment to God. And you gotta take that to a place where your heart needs to be changed onto God. I remember doing a session years ago on this, and it was a strange concept to me. Where it's like, somebody said, you need to forgive Jesus, where He let you down. And that sounds bizarre. So I said, okay, Lord, I say you're good, but do I believe it? Okay, Lord, I forgive you. I feel let down by you. Okay, I forgive you. Oh, for some reason, it just really undid a couple of walls for me. Because it allowed, what those walls up were telling me explicitly and implicitly that Jesus wasn't good. Basically, the lies in my head were, Jesus is not good. You know, he didn't turn up. And I was allowing the enemy to fill in those gaps and to build the bricks higher. And Jesus is good. Crappy things have happened to us. But it wasn't God who instigated those things. He will use them to bring you from glory to glory. And I challenge you, is there a place in your heart where you resent God for allowing things to happen? So, walking in trust, can you make these statements around forgiveness? And this is difficult. I will forgive others just as God has forgiven me. I will choose to confront issues with forgiveness instead of holding resentment in my heart. I will offer forgiveness to the perpetrators and leave the rest to God. I will grow more and more in understanding that the hurts of my past never escaped the eyes of the Lord. I will not let Satan keep me in the bondage of unforgiveness. I will forgive others regardless of their response to me. I will allow others to see God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness at work in me. I know and understand that forgiveness brings freedom and release from my past and present hurts. What do you think of that? Do you think you have a place in your heart? And again, you don't have to answer. You can if you wish, go ahead. But do you think there's a place in your heart that there is unforgiveness? And it's not easy to answer that question. It's actually really difficult. If this was a more intimate setting, I'd probably spend the next 10 minutes going, let's press in to the Lord. Let's actually press in and ask, where is He bringing you to? I don't know whether it's conducive for that. It's probably a little bit chilly as well, so conscious that. But it's useful for us to get time with the Lord for these spaces and to spend just 10 minutes going, Jesus, hear me. I want to hear you. Where are the places in my heart that I need to forgive? scripture yesterday that I read was, let not your heart be hardened when you hear the word of the Lord. And I ask that for every one of us today. That our heart not be hardened when we hear the word of the Lord. This is straight from Jesus' mouth. He's going, this is serious stuff. And I've heard some incredible stories of forgiveness. And I've heard some incredible bondage stories where people are like, I can't forgive that person. And it's years, like literally years, walking in this tormented state of not giving someone or something to Jesus. That doesn't mean that what happens to us is invalidated. If anything, the wrath belongs to our Lord. Like he will see justice. Either he's already seen it on the cross and that person comes to Jesus, or there will be wrath. And when you look at it in that context, that justice will be served on the things that have happened to us, you're kind of like, actually, Lord, I want salvation for that person. I don't want them to not know you. All of a sudden, you have a different dichotomy in your head going, actually, Lord, actually, hold on. That pound of flesh that I want, whoa, just a sec. If I think this true, Lord, if they don't know you, the reality of what we believe, folks, it's pretty big. Pretty big. It's serious. This is serious stuff. So serious that Jesus died on the cross. So what did Jesus die for? Right, he died for our sins. That was the first quick response. He died so that our sins are forgiven. But why? Why? Why did he need to do that? Well, okay, so reconciliation to the Father. But why? What was so serious about sin? What was going to happen with our sin? We're going to face the wrath of God. Jesus came to deal with the wrath of God. Like that, and this is like that's what he came to deal with. So that me and you, he substituted, right? So that we're out of the way, all the wrath of God came on him. This is why in Isaiah it says, it pleased the Lord to crush him, because the Father saw that sin was being dealt with and the perfect justice of God was being satisfied. So justice is going to be served. So that's why our message of forgiveness is so important. Because if you take it to the full conclusion, right, the person that I needed to forgive in my life, and I still need to forgive an awful lot of people, I need Jesus' heart to see them so that I can pray from, actually, Lord, I do forgive them. And actually, I want them to have your forgiveness. I want them to walk in salvation and in forgiveness. I don't want them to face the wrath of God. It's pretty heavy. Like, it is pretty heavy. And that's the new level of thinking I think the Lord wants to bring us into. Seeing the world in his eyes and seeing people in his eyes. And sometimes, for me, I get so petty. So petty when somebody wrongs me, and I have to go, Jesus, just let me see the situation. Don't let my heart go into hatred, horribleness for this person. Let me see it. And all of a sudden you have this different view of the world and you see why they're acting like that, or you're able to forgive and go, Jesus, I hand them over to you. I give it to you. It's not for me to sort out, to deal, but I'm not letting my heart go through resentment for that. Difficult, but with Jesus it's not. All right, we're going to do communion, and this is the ultimate, like, we need a revelation, right, of a deeper revelation. Paul talks about Ephesians 3, you need to know deeper and deeper, wider and wider, higher and higher, the depths of God's love, right? And that's supernatural. You can't educate yourself into this. Like, you can to some degree, right? You can. But it's not head knowledge. It's not up here. It's heart knowledge. It needs to go deeper. It needs to be, like, your heart needs to be circumcised unto the Lord. Now, circumcision is meant to be pretty horrific, right? So it's meant to be, if you're feeling something unto the Lord, right? It's render your heart, Joel says, unto the Lord. It's something that's a moving, and the Holy Spirit needs to do that with us. So my ask is that when we sit here and we pray, going through communion, that we ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, can you take me deeper into the revelation of what the sacrifice of Jesus is? Because there are further depths of knowing, because that's what Paul says in Scripture. I pray to the Father that you know more of the glory of Jesus, and it goes deeper into your heart, that you know his love wide, 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 high, 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 depth, 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 right? So your understanding, so I hope I don't insult anyone now, but and mine, your understanding and my understanding of Jesus isn't complete, which is wonderful. The understanding of the depth of his forgiveness for you isn't complete. It's a fabulous story when you think about it, right? The depth of, or the your knowledge of the love of God isn't complete. There's a lot more. You probably know 0000000000, as many zeros, percent of the depth of God's love for us and what he actually had to do in order to deal with our sin, because forgiveness is really important for him. And this is why Jesus gave us that story. He is really serious about forgiveness and not letting it hold onto your heart.